Hi everyone, welcome to Levels. I'm Jeremy Long, joined as always by Cassandra Cousineau, the Sportsnista. We're coming to you live from Las Vegas with one heck of a show. And, you know, a little late start today, but, you know, that is the glorious wonder of staying at home and doing these remote interviews like this. You're at the mercy of technology and internet. So, Cece, before we introduce our first guest for tonight, we have a really good show, but how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm back to the ancient dinosaur of chords. But we're gonna make it work. I have this like South angelic glow about me today. Yeah. I'm on a different machine. So yeah. Don't let it fool you.
She's still a bad, bad woman. And and our first guest up, you may know as a bad, bad man, one of our favorite guys to watch. I mean, you're talking a badass when it came to, NCAA wrestling and, you know, whipping ass all over the place there, now doing his thing in mixed martial arts. And, still a young guy, but you forget how long Bubba Jenkins has been putting those damn hands on people. But, you know, far be it from me to tell the story when we have the man, the myth, the legend right here with us right now. And there he is, Brock in the Shades and all. Bubba Jenkins, how are you today, man?
What's up? What's up, man? I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty cool. I'm chilling out here in New Jersey, getting ready for, crash the party.
Man. Coming to us live from Jersey, doing the thing out there. Now, I gotta start with this, man. You are going to be facing off, of course, with Lance Palmer here very shortly. You guys are going to have a really good scrap. I know, if anything, about that. But, you know, what the hell is with this 17-day quarantine for PFL? You spent like half a month in a bubble now, man. What bro, the hell are you doing?
Not like half a month. We do spend half a month in a bubble, more than the government actually do. But, man, the people here have been absolutely awesome. You know, the people that work for PFL, they're doing a great job of trying to meet all our needs and, you know, get us to fight night. That's really what it's about, making sure that we all can show up on fight night without any COVID, without any other kind of things that's going on in the world. I mean, it's actually with so much going on in the world and the climate that it is, it's actually cool to be a little bit secluded and to be away from the regular world. So it's pretty cool. But man, we grinding, you know. There's a couple of things that you would love to have leading up to the fight, but you know, I got a steel trap above my head, so I'm not really tripping, man. It's go time. And if you ain't mentally strong in this sport, especially with the type of quarantines that are going on now, then you know, you might want to try to find a ballet or a basketball court or something.
Hey man, ballet is tough, man. On your toes.
have you seen those feet? The feet on those girls. My God, that's commitment right there. But you, of course, facing off against a two-time PFL champion, back to back. You know, not an easy fight, man. But I don't think you're the kind of guy that likes or would prefer an easy fight at this point.
Nah, man. I'm a little bit perturbed that it's a pay cut, because you know, me and Lance Palmer go way back. We were young in the days when I first met him. We wrestled in college, we wrestled in the same tournaments in high school and things like that. So the fact that I figured we would be on the opposite sides of the brackets, being that we have the same agent and everything like that, that I would meet him in the finals and to fight a Palmer would be, you know, $1 million check. You know, I'm cool with fighting Palmer for a mil, but when they told me I had to take the pay cut because I got to get him in the first round, to me, that was just more like, all right, well, you know, let's get it. Eventually, to beat the champ, you got to beat the champ. So, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and put my name in the hat and take him out in the first round. I'm gonna crash the party. My son keeps telling me, Dad, how's Operation Crash the Party? So, it's good. We're going smooth right now.
Well, you had said once upon a time that you would fight Lance for a cheeseburger.
I did. I wrestled Lance Palmer for a cheeseburger and an orange soda. Back in the days, that was my post-weigh-in meal. And it was one thing I also did to celebrate my match or the wins and stuff like that. So if I wasn't able to eat that cheeseburger or that orange soda before the match, if I got that W, that was what I was getting. So, you know, I did beat Lance Palmer back in the days for a cheeseburger and an orange soda.
Now, you and Lance have known each other for a long time. Are some fights inevitable? Like, are there people that you know, men that you come up with, that you just know at some point or another, you two are going to be across from one another in a meaningful way?
This one was one, yeah. I'm not sure about every, you know, every friend I have, I got a lot of friends and I, you know, I got a lot of winners in my camp. So, you know, you don't always think that you'll always have to fight some of those people. But I think with the Lance Palmer and me, it's been a long time coming and we've clashed a bunch of times. So, you know, I could see it happening in MMA, whether we were in this organization at PFL or whether, you know, the ties got turned and we went somewhere else. But him being the wrestler that he is and the champion that he is, and, you know, I could see that happen very easily. So here we are.
Now, would you, I mean, you, we just mentioned, and you, of course, documented the long history you have with Lance Palmer and everything. And so you have this guy that you probably know better than most people, probably a lot of people in both your lives. You guys probably know each other better that way. Is it easier to face off with a guy like Lance that you have this long history with, or would you rather someone that you got no connection to whatsoever? Or it doesn't even matter at this point.
No, it's a little bit of both, man. I like to fight strangers because, you know, you don't got no emotion attached to it. You know, you can just compete with them. But, you know, I don't mind taking out friends, especially if people that I know that, like, I've big brothered before. And Lance is somebody that I big brothered before. So the mental edge is, you know, he's looked me in the eye and I've looked him in the eye and he's walked away with losses. And, you know, plural losses. So I'm making sure that I stay in the big brother mindset. I stay in the understanding that, yeah, man, I don't done this before. I don't seen you before. And the fact that the world couldn't beat him just yet in this tournament, it just gives me that extra oomph.
You mentioned that you beat him before. We know that you are partly trained by Dewey Cooper, who has been
partly
on the show multiple.
That's my man. That's the head coach. You know, partly. That's all in. We all in with Dewey Cooper.
Right, Dewey's the head of your team, and we know how intense Dewey is. He's been on the show multiple times. What are the things that Dewey's talking to you about to be careful of? Because this is a familiar foe for you.
Man, Dewey's more about the motivation of, you know, expecting. We expect this, you know, fight night. Fight night is the celebration of all hard work is what Dewey says all the time. And that's what we are expecting. We're expecting that we've worked really hard in the past to lead up to this. And on fight night, we don't see nothing different than what we've already been visualizing, that we already been practicing, and we already been preaching in the gym. And, you know, it's really just stay the course, stay the mindset. I think Vegas and the world might have me as an underdog, but not over here in the Badman camp. We already know what it is.
Well, Dewey just got another championship strap to add to his collection. So we asked him, why not this one? And so he is expecting to kind of circle all of the wagons this year. Is there any pressure on you outside of what you put on yourself to perform for your team?
No, I'm a diamond, mama. So me having the pressure is something that I'm built with. You know, I was born in the dark. I was born in the pressure. I was born in that type of thing. I'm a bad man. So pressure is not something that is, you know, heaped upon you. Pressure is something you live with. And me being one of the top recruits in the country coming out, me being explosive. When I walk, people look at me to expect me to say something exciting. They expect me to move. When I take my shirt off, you see the muscles. People expect me to, like, be explosive. I've had expectations all my life. So, you know, I don't see nothing different about this situation. This is just who I am.
Well, Jeremy, you know, he got bad man in his name. So,
yeah, I mean, you can't be soft if you got bad man in your name. I imagine that's something that people early on probably wanted to find out if you could back that up. And unfortunately for them, they caught them hands.
Absolutely. And that's great. Something about this fight. You know, a lot of people think the wrestler, you know, we're going to do a lot of grappling. Nah, man, I'm about to put these 1-2 paws on him. You know, he's going to try to shoot and do all that stuff that he's done. His recipe is very simple is what I've seen, you know, and I've seen a lot of good athletes deal with that type of style. So, you know, and I'm one of those guys that I feel like on paper, there ain't nothing he can do with me.
You know, you, of course, Lance Palmer has this back-to-back win, 2 back-to-back million-dollar checks with his organization. You know, a guy, he goes back years, you know what that's all about and everything. When you saw a guy so close to you do that and achieve it and do it back-to-back and achieve it and everything, a guy that you've even said, you know, I got multiple wins over, I've handed him multiple L's and everything, does that, you know – for most people, $1 million is just that dream. That's like, oh, I'd like to have $1 million. But that puts that within arm's length of of, you know, completing that journey and having that check put in your hands? Is it something that you have dreamt about at this point, and, you know, just feeling?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And the funny thing is, I was rooting for Palmer to win those, that money. You know, Palmer was, before I had to sign a contract and, you know, decide to take his head off when I see him, he was somebody that I was rooting for as far as, you know, being a wrestler from the same background. I know his father and his brother and his people. So, you know, me seeing him beat some guys in the past, I was like, yeah, let's go, party boy. But, you know, it's Operation Crash the Party. So I'm not really tripping about what he's done already. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go do what I does.
Speaking of Operation Crash the Party, your Instagram is a lot of fun. I mean, it's always a party. I saw once, it was your son, I think, who fell asleep while he was eating. And you're like, if you fall asleep, you eat, you're going to eat your food. But he woke up and he started eating again. Like, he was like,
that's how we do. That's relentless over here. We are relentless. All the Jenkins boys.
Most recently, you had posted with DMX in the background. Of course, DMX has just passed, but left an incredible legacy of music. Any chance that we might hear some DMX when you come out in the fight?
See, I was considering that. Usually I do something that is, you know, I'm a hope dealer. So usually I'm playing something that deals with hope or deals with some kind of mindset. DMX, man, he used to make me want to fight people. And of course, I'm getting ready for a fight.
He did pray that again. He did pray a lot. He had a lot of prayers, yeah,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the when you hear DMX, the intensity of your anxiety, I believe, goes up, you know.
Meet me outside.
When
meet
I'm
me
on
outside.
My walkout, I want to be on some like slower or more chill. I might, you know, play some DMX later that night. But sometimes you don't want to come out as a DMX real quick, because, you know, that could definitely spike some things. So I try to keep it cool and calm and collected, but I'm gonna look into some research about what DMX got on the hit list, because the words that I'm hearing on my walkout are something that motivates me. And if it's a little too intense, you know, I'm a car, you gas me up, we're gonna drive, baby.
Now, you know, I hear you have plans to launch a bad man training app. Is that still in the works? And what all is involved with the Bad Man Training app?
Well, y'all gotta come through and check the link in the bio. The Bad Man Training app is gonna be something that I give to the fans. Some of my little secrets, you know. Only people who subscribe is gonna really be in on that. But to be honest, you know, it's somebody hit me up from a Playbook. It's an organization that has been doing this for a long time. And they said, man, we love the way you talk. We love the way you walk. You're smooth as a cruise boat floats when you're walking. So we might as well do something together. And I'm the guy that's like, yo, if y'all talking about a check, I got kids to feed. Let me see it, because I don't do products.
Yeah, I actually checked it out. I'm actually like on the beginning of a new fitness journey for myself. So I did look. I saw there was a Bad Man Training app, but you can have the Bad Chick workouts as well. So I think like the first few is a dollar. Was like the first sign
first
up for
dollar. I'm doing the COVID-19 discounts this year. But I do have a couple people that work under me as far as a team that I'm going to build to, you know, really build this app. They're, you know, my brother's a bodybuilder, and I got some other friends that are around me that will really help with, you know, the launching of this app. And some of it will be my secrets. Some of it will be the stuff that I take from them. But nonetheless, man, we're going to have a really cool app. People are going to really enjoy what they see, and it's going to be fun.
I'm going to sign up, Jeremy, and we're going to talk about these workouts too. I'm struggling as it is. So let's see how we do.
I got you. Log in and I got you.
I'm extremely interested in that. But also, you're so damn charismatic, man. You know, I mean, and of course, you got the wrestling pedigree and all that stuff. Would you ever consider a career? Have you ever been approached to go into maybe pro wrestling after your MMA days are done, maybe WWE or something like that? You can make a ton of money.
When the real bad man in me turns into more of a like a not as athletic, not as dangerous bad man, and we can, you know, do a little choreography and get a little, you know, little trained here with the flips and stuff, then maybe, yeah, we'll do it. But I like to have the wins in my control, you know, and the WWE stuff like that. Sometimes you got to go with the flow and go with what they say. And I've been a boss all my life. Nobody ever told me nothing. I'm a warrior, not a soldier. So I don't have a sergeant. I have God. And then there's my decision. I talk to myself because I am my own consultant. So that's how I feel about those type of things. I like to have the control.
What month were you born, Bubba?
February 5th. Me and Bob Marley have the same birthday.
An Aquarius.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Aquarius. Yeah, you have some more fire to you. I know you're a leader. You've probably been a leader for your entire life. I bet if we talk to your people and they've seen it.
I've been captain of every team I've ever been a part of. I was the captain of every team I've ever been a part of. Every team since middle school, elementary school, I was always the captain, natural born leader.
Wow.
Who are your inspirations though? When you look at your career and you think about becoming the best, who are some of the individuals you look at? And maybe not just fighters, but just athletes and individuals in general.
Well, of course, we got to go with Muhammad Ali. We'll start there. And I'm not going to say that Allen Iverson is one of the best leaders ever because, we talking about practice. But
practice?
I'm from VA. I'm from Virginia. So he was a big role model and just the chip that he carried on his shoulder, being a smaller guy, things like that. Of course, being an African-American, Martin Luther King. Most of my leaders came in my family. Most of the mentors and the people that were around me, the people who showed me real love when they really didn't have to, when I really couldn't give them back. Those are a lot of the people that I really looked up to. The Coach Bruces, the Corey Williams, some of the guys you won't even know. But there are people who I hold dear to my heart. But mostly just the fact that my father died when I was at a young age and I was always looking for that mentorship. I was always looking for that leadership role. And it came in the form of coaches and peers and, people who could lead me.
Your dad died at a young age. Who raised you?
My mom. My mom is still my leader to this day. Ma Duke, shout out to Mom Teresa Otero. She's at the crib right now with my children, and yeah, she's my rock. That's my everything right there.
Well, you face off with Lance Palmer Friday, April 23rd, PFL 1, the regular season, kicking it off for this tournament, hoping to get in early, dethrone a two-time back-to-back champ there. If there's anyone that can, I'm putting my money on Bubba Jenkins. And
bet the house, man. They got me as the underdog. I ain't seen the numbers, but bet the house. I'm telling you, I'm coming home with a big bag.
Bag all day, man. And I can't wait to see what else happens for you, my friend. And I'll let CeCe have the last question, but thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, man. I know it's fun and exciting there in the bubble, but, glad to disrupt it every once in a while. And thank you for letting us chat with you for a few minutes.
No doubt. What's up, Cassie?
I got a chance. I heard that name in a long time. I got a chance to talk to Mackenzie Dern after her win last week. Of course, you're rep by dominance and you cornered her at one point. She had a lot of really good things to say about you. What does it mean to you to have so many just killers in your corner who actually look up to you and who are rooting for you right now? What do you want them to know?
It means a lot. It means a lot. It really is, the fire that continues to fuel me. I really do it for my children, because eventually they're going to stop hearing what I say and they're going to start seeing the things that I've done. Yeah. But truly to have people that are around me that are also inspiring the rest of the world, that are also inspiring me, it just gives me that ability and that want to inspire as well. I'm not one to allow someone to be great or greater than me that's a peer. So I try my name in Hebrew being Jesse is the gift of God. And I try to be that in every way that I can, whether it's the way that I talk, whether it's the way that I walk, whether it's the way that I throw these paws. It's just me trying to be what the Lord told me that I should be and who I'm destined to be. And destiny has a destination, baby. I'm headed somewhere.
You headed to, what did your son say? Did you what to the party?
Headed to crash the party. Operation crash the party.
So there you have it. Listen, best of luck to you. Of course, we really all support Dewey and anything that he's working on. So if you want Dewey's team, we on your team.
No doubt. No doubt. I hear Dewey's voice right outside my door right now.
How could you not?
Hey, Dewey, hey, Bubba, we got that 9 o'clock workout. So I hear him calling me right now. So we're definitely going to chop this wood and get prepared for Operation Crash the Party. We 9 days out. Make sure y'all check in. ESPN2, April 23rd. Bad man out.
Yeah, appreciate you. Thank you,
Bubba Jenkins.
All right.
There you go. Bubba Jenkins. And if he's mixed up with Dewey Cooper, that is a good time right there. Dewey, one of our friends. We just actually had Dewey on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, if Brock Lesnar and you know, Kurt Angle and all these guys and Lady Ronda Rousey and them can make money at WWE. Bubba Jenkins is a natural talker, man. Come on.
Listen, can you finish like this sentence? It's a new day. You know what comes after that?
No, I have no idea what comes after that.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yes. It, oh, you're talking about the group. Oh, okay.
We're playing charades? It's a new day. Yes, it is. But now yes, he would be fantastic in WWE. I am upset, though, that he's meeting Lance Palmer this early in the bracket. I don't know why they had to do something like that. Yeah, were plenty of other fighters that they could have matched. But, you know, I can see how they'd want to kick it off with some fireworks. But, damn it, you know, both of these dudes actually deserved to meet later on in that tournament.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, good segue there because speaking of fireworks, one of the tandem of brothers in MMA that every time they step into a cage is literal fireworks every single time. And this and Sergio Pettis is getting ready for what they call it in wrestling, what does JR say, a slobber knocker of a fight against Juan Archuleta. It's going to be a fun one, man. And I know he's ready for it. We're ready for it. Let's talk to him right now. There he is, looking dapper as always, looking championship material.
And he's Sergio. Early.
Oh, I'm early.
Early. We like that.
Early is on time, right? That's what they say. Early is on time. Sergio, thank you so much for taking time, man. We know you're getting ready. You're a few weeks away from this title fight, man. But, you know, so we just got to kick it off. Say, how are things? How do you feel leading up to just a couple weeks out?
Thank you guys for having me on. And I feel good, man. Big camp for me. Big opportunity. Fighting the tough Juan Archuleta, 25-2. He's only got two losses. So, you know, this is a big name for me to go out there and try to get on my resume and try to get that belt, man. It's time I get a belt for myself.
Well, you know, speaking of resume, I mean, you have so many big names on your resume. You fought a who's who list of, you know, competitors all over the world and everything. Now, being a little bit over a year now with Bellator and finding your groove, you're on the 3-fight win streak and everything. How do you feel in retrospect, leaving the UFC and going to Bellator? How does the whole decision and everything play out for you? And how do you feel with the company overall?
Oh, man, I've been having a great time at Bellator. It's been awesome. They treat me really well. Nothing really different. You know, honestly, it's still a big show. Pretty much ran exactly the same. So, you know, it's a blessing, man. It's been a great opportunity. And I feel like I'm finally coming into myself, finally coming into the man I'm supposed to be and the martial artist I'm supposed to be. So it's definitely been a spiritual journey. Hard to leave, you know, home. You know, the UFC was my home for a bit, but you know, you gotta grow up and leave home sometimes and explore. So, yeah, I feel like I'm gaining a new perspective.
You know, both you and your brother Anthony moved on from UFC under different circumstances. But you being the younger brother, did you have a moment when you actually got to counsel Anthony and to have kind of a big brother moment for him?
Yeah. Same. You know, same for me. You know, that opportunity presented itself for Bellator, and you know, I had a goal in the UFC to, you know, become a champ. And you know, just things just switched off, and it was a great decision. You know, I think everything played out extremely well. And Anthony, same thing. You know, he's been with the UFC for a while. So for him to, you know, take that decision, it was hard for him a little bit. Same with me. It was hard for a bit, but, you know, it's just a new journey. And it's mixed martial arts. At the end of the day, we're mixed martial artists. You know, we're not UFC fighters. We're MMA fighters. And wherever we go, as long as we get to perform and do what we love to do at the highest levels, we're blessed.
Now, you know, we talk a lot about, of course, your brother and y'all's relationship and everything. How special is that to have a sibling, you know, similar in age and everything, fighting, doing the same thing, you know, to have that camaraderie and be able to bounce off the, you know, the training and everything else and kind of go in lockstep with what you guys do for a living? And how special is that? How important is that to you?
Oh, it's been special, man. The stuff that I got to see with my brother, the journeys we got to take, the journey he's taken, and the experiences and all the stuff that he's learned, he's able to help me with and help me to make right decisions. You know, being the bigger brother's definitely paved a lot for me. So it's been amazing, man. We grind together, we shine together, and we just love what we do. We've been doing martial arts since I was 5 years old. Anthony was about like 8 or 9. So you know, this is all we know. This is our life.
Now, of course, you know, with brothers and everything, I'm sure there's, you know, moments in time where you guys didn't always necessarily see eye to eye at different points and everything. And of course, this is something that, that went on a couple of years ago and everything, but I'm sure as a little brother, I'm a little brother too.
You know how it is.
You probably have PTSD from this certain moment right here, CC. Check this out. Yeah. Now, that's a moment that was like, this was probably like 4 or 5 years ago now.
Yeah,
you guys are both in the UFC doing some monster training, whatever. Yeah. Earlier, he kicked the can right off your head. This time, a little brother hazing there. Do you still wake up with cold sweat and just like, hey, grab me a bag of peas, somebody, would you?
Yeah, Anthony was always the prankster growing up. He always liked to play pranks on my other brothers. So, yeah, he hasn't changed much. He's still the same guy. And yeah, man, he's, you know, being the younger brother, he got me tougher. You know, there was times where me and Anthony didn't see eye to eye. You know, I was the younger bro going through life, you know, going through my experiences. And there's times that we didn't see eye to eye, but mixed martial arts brought us together, you know. The sport's just amazing. You know, I'm very thankful that Anthony made that switch over from Taekwondo to mixed martial arts, and me following along. It's been everything I could dream of.
Now, MMA is the family business, and I know that Anthony came up in ATA. Did you also?
Yeah. I was ATA point spar. Actually, was a world champion for point sparring at the age of 13. So. Yeah, we were we've been doing Taekwondo our whole lives, and our mom got us into it, and she regrets it now.
My son started at ATA when he was 4. He's turning 9 this year. He's actually trained at Mr. Rico's. Mikey Rico, actually, one of your brothers actually has competed against him. And so he's actually upstairs right now.
Oh, nice, nice.
Every once in a while, you can hear him.
Every once in a while, his thing, I can hear him. Like, he's got to do his 360 hook kick. And so, but starting early in martial arts, is that something that helped you outside of the mat as well? And what were some of the lessons you were able to carry out as a young man?
Yeah, I mean, just the stuff that Taekwondo teaches you. It teaches you discipline, respect, self-esteem, belief, you know, all that is so important. And at that age, I didn't understand it. You know, I didn't understand what I was learning. But as I grew up, it started showing itself. It started to reveal itself. The stuff that I was learning in my martial arts school, I'm able to relate to life, and I'm able to take with me deeper than just martial arts. So it's been a spiritual journey in the martial arts field.
When did you put it together? Kind of like what age did it start to make sense to you?
I know, honestly, it kind of a little bit later for me. You know, as I started going into my mixed martial arts career, I started seeing, you know, the stuff that I really needed. You know, I was going through just physicality of, you know, training, but then I realized, you know, the importance of mentality, the importance of, you know, having that belief in yourself, and the stuff that I've been learning since I was a kid. You know, I just, like I said, I didn't know what I was doing it for, but you know, later on in life, it made a lot of sense. You know, I was able to go out and be social and, you know, have respect for people and have respect for myself and just all the important attributes that you need to, you know, be a good person.
You started the Pettis Martial Arts School with your brother, and outside of just kind of the technical part of it, are those some of the things that you talked to the students about?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just the importance of, you know, like I said, the respect, having respect for yourself, having respect for your family, respect for your name. Just that, you know, that stuff is so important, especially nowadays. You know, it's like, it's easy to let things be okay, you know, instead of just, you know, maybe I shouldn't do that because, you know, I my body doesn't deserve that, or I shouldn't have that feeling or that thought. You know, it was very important. I think everything that I've learned and everything that I was able to teach to other kids as well, it's been a cool journey.
Pettis Mixed Martial Arts. Are you training primarily out of Wisconsin right now, or are you somewhere else?
No, yeah. I'm born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Still here training to this day. Yep. Still with Rufus.
Born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That is a mouthful right there. But I hear things like you hunt alligator, things like that. You hunt alligator for real? How the hell do you get mixed up in alligator hunting?
In Wisconsin.
Do they have alligators in Wisconsin?
It was a cool opportunity. Chad Mendez brought me out for Fins and Feathers to actually hunt for the first time. I've gone hunting before, but never was successful at it. So, yeah, he brought me out to Florida for some gator hunting and got my first gator. It was a crazy experience. Something, you know, I've never done in my life. So it was, yeah, cool, man. Martial arts gave me so many opportunities. Very, like I said, blessed, man. This is a blessing of a lifestyle.
Yeah, because you can't, it's not like regular hunting where you're a distance away. I mean, you get pretty close to alligators, man. I mean, you gotta get that kill shot.
You gotta be on your A game, man. Those gators don't play.
Yeah, no, you're fishing. You go fishing too. What is there a certain type of fish that you like to?
I like to fish the rivers. You know, I'm more of a walking around, sitting in the rivers, fishing out, enjoying nature. I'm very outdoorsy. Even though in Wisconsin it's hard to be that way because it's freezing a lot here. So, but you know, even in the freezing, we go out there and we'll ice fish. You know, we'll go out there and snowboard. You know, just being outside. I'm very I like to be in touch with nature. You know, I'm in the building all day, every day at home at my training facility. So I feel like that kind of gives me that relief I need to just have my head clear and have that clarity.
Now, you mentioned earlier your mom probably regrets the whole introduction to martial arts. But as a kid growing up, going to these classes and everything, you and your brothers doing your thing. Now you're both very successful and you have this very nice gym where a lot of people, you know, frequent and things like that. Did you ever imagine that was the journey that you were going to be on when you were younger?
Not at all. I remember my first Taekwondo class, actually. I didn't want to take Taekwondo class. I actually told my mom, I swear to God, I told her this, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
It's crazy how things turned out. Nowadays. She's like, you better love these Taekwondo lessons because it's expensive. Now get your butt on the mat.
Yeah, I told her I was a lover, not a fighter. And now at the age of 27, I love to fight. So it's
crazy how life
works. And now you kick people in the head. All right, yeah, you know. But I could totally see that, man. I could totally see that about you. I bet you were a charmer too, man. Who was more charming with the girls? Was it you or your brothers?
Honestly, I was very shy, man. I was very shy. You know, Anthony was the confident one, the one that was out there, you know, having some, you know, like that belief in himself. Anthony had that at a young age and just took it far with him. You know, it's something that I had to grow into and something that I had to figure out as I got older, especially for this profession.
I keep telling my son, because he's a little guy, like, you're going to stay in martial arts because you got to, you're a small guy, you got to know, be funny or know how to fight. I prefer it if you're funny, but if you need to fight, like, we're going to stick with this for the rest of your life so at least you feel confident. Not that you got to go start something, but if you need to finish something, you can feel confident that you can.
100%. I think that's important for everybody, you know, just to have that you know, that belief in yourself, you know, like that belief in I can defend myself, especially nowadays. You know, things, you know, it's crazy, you know, you never know what's gonna happen. So that's awesome that you got your kid in Taekwondo. I'm happy for you,
man. I'm trying to get the little girl started. She just likes to hit people. I'm trying to focus. Girls are mean.
Hey, girls are tough. Mean little girls are tough. I got four nieces and man, they're all tough, all of them.
Try to kill you, but you last year just got your BJJ black belt.
Yep.
What was that moment like for you?
I was cool. You know, I've been doing jiu-jitsu my whole life, so to finally get that and to just you know, have that journey to lead to that point was awesome. You know, I had a great jiu-jitsu instructor. He was awesome. Daniel Vanderlei taught me a lot, and it was cool. You know, it was something that I, you know, personally, I'm not much of a jits guy, but you know, like, it's important to know it all, especially for mixed martial arts. You can't just be one dimension out here. You got to know everything. So it was cool to, you know, get what I finally deserved, I feel like.
Well, you know, speaking of kind of knowing it all, being well-rounded and everything, you have a very tough opponent, Juan Archuleta, a guy who's only got a couple of L's on his resume, but same with you, man. So when you are across the cage looking at a Juan Archuleta, what do you see and an opponent like that, you know, what do you try to figure out that a lot of people haven't about Mr. Archuleta?
Yeah, I mean, Juan's got a very crazy style. You know, he's very, very explosive. He does things that are different than the usual. So, you know, it's gonna be an interesting fight. You know, I'm very technical. I'm very selective with my style. I'm very selective with my shots. And where I feel like he's gonna try to run me over and, you know, thinks I'm a little guy and stuff. But you know, I've been fighting people like that my whole life. So, you know, I feel I'm not really putting too much over, you know, I'm a big overthinker. So I feel like for this camp, you know, I'm just really living in the moment, being present, taking it day by day. And when that day's come, when the day comes for that fight, I'm going to be extremely ready and extremely on my A game.
Now, go ahead. Sorry. We're talking. Okay, all good. You know, talking about Juan's style and everything, he does have a very unique style, but you also train with one of the guys who, you know, I mean, jumped off a cage and kicked the dude in the head. Uh-huh. So, I mean, is, you know, having a, you know, that guy with your brother and of course, the all your training partners and everything, do you feel, I mean, looking at his style, do you feel it's that unique or is it something you're being polite right now? Because I'm sure you've seen some crazy things in that gym with you guys.
I mean, I've seen it all, man. I've been around. This is going to be my 10th year of professional fighting.
Right.
I went straight out of high school, straight into 18 years old to pro fighting. So this is going to be my 10th year as I turn 28 this year. Time flies. But, yeah, man, I feel like I've seen it all. I fought some big names, you know, that had crazy styles. Joseph Benavidez. I fought Henry Cejudo. You know, Triple C. But man, it's you know, none of that really matters until that night. For that 25 minutes, that's when it really matters. And I got to go out there and react. Go out there, see how I do. I feel like I said, I'm turning into the man I'm supposed to be, and the martial artist I'm supposed to be. So I'm excited to go out there May 7th and let it loose and show the belief in myself and the belief in my process.
You mentioned Benavidez and Cejudo. You've been able to fight individuals who, Cejudo for certain, probably Joey will end up being UFC Hall of Famers. Who would people be surprised in terms of your opponents, who was the toughest one for you?
Toughest, you know what, honestly, I would say my toughest opponent was Rob Font. I fought him at 135. You know, I've had some losses at 25 that, you know, and the whole division being possibly taken away. So I was like, oh, I probably should move up so I don't lose my job. So fought Rob Font like a month after I fought at 125. And man, he just had a very, very similar style to me, very technical, very selective with his shots, but he just had no wind up in a lot of his movements. So it was hard to read. You know, it was a fight where I feel like I learned how tough I was. You know, I learned how tough I was fighting a bigger opponent and fighting an educated opponent, as educated as I was, and not going in with the right mentality, but still coming out, you know, not knocked out, not submitted. So took away a lot from that fight. Also, it was in front of my hometown, so it was a humbling moment, you know.
Right.
A humbling moment.
Well, you know, you do that, and then, you know, just a short time later, you're with Bellator. And how did, you know, not a whole lot of fighters. I mean, it's a different game when you're out there, you know, as far as free agency and things like that. Not a whole lot of fighters actually experience the free agent period in their fight careers and everything. But how I guess, walk us through, how did that feel having a Bellator come after you and say, hey, look, man, we want you on our roster. You are a star. We're going to, you know, we got a home for you. We want to let you do what you do on our stage and everything. What did that feel like to have somebody come after you like that?
It felt awesome, man. You know, it was scary being a free agent for a bit, you know, in the UFC, if you lose two in a row, you know, you possibly get cut, or, you know, it's just that feeling of not having a certainty of what's next. So I was sitting around for a bit, just kind of figuring life out, kind of going through some ups and downs, you know, with emotions and thoughts. And Bellator put an offer out there for me, and it was an amazing offer that I couldn't refuse for myself and my family. And it's been a great opportunity for me. You know, I'm very blessed that Bellator reached out to me, and I'm able to come out here and fight for their title and hopefully be their champion.
Well, you certainly got your hands full coming up, but it sounds like you're ready.
Oh yeah, I'm ready. Like I said, I've been fighting for 10 years. All the ups and downs have set me up for this moment. And regardless, I'm gonna go out there and do what I do best. As long as I can perform to my capabilities, I feel I could be successful out there.
Oh man, that is, it's gonna be a good scrap. I'm very excited to watch you do work. Yeah, Juan Archuleta, May 7th, just around the corner, folks. Bellator 258. You're gonna put that two piece in a biscuit. Autumn, man, get out there. When all that nice guy and that smile go away, and then you and your brother have that same similar look when y'all get in the cage. Yeah. When it all that goes away, y'all both have that laser focus. It's one of the best moments of watching any fight is when you guys laser focus in and you get ready to do the work that you're about to put in. I mean, you just said it right there. I mean, you've been fighting for 10 years. You're so young. You're a brother too. Y'all are both super young in MMA, but it seems like y'all been around forever. And I know certainly a family that we've watched over the years, all of our years, CC and I watching and covering martial arts and everything. So we're very excited that you're doing your thing in Bellator. We're excited you're fighting for a championship, man. You know, I don't like to play favorites in fights, but I would be remiss if I didn't say, I want you to win. So, you know, I did say that. I'm on
my favorites, but damn it, with you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. I'm excited. Thank you guys for having me on the show, too. It was awesome talking to you, too.
Absolutely. Sergio Pettis, May 7th, Bellator 258. Fights for that Bellator Bantamweight Championship. Gonna bring it home to Wisconsin, go hunt some gators after that, right?
Yes, sir. Hunt some gators, fish some fish, you know. Enjoy that living.
Yeah, well, there you go, man. Who knew alligators were in Wisconsin? They're not, but I just made up that fact. No one's gonna take it and ask you about it in your next interview. So there you go. Sergio, thank you so much for your time, and we appreciate it. Can't wait. Best of luck in your fight, and can't wait to talk to you down the road, man.
Hey, thank you guys so much. God bless. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Thank you. There you go, man. One of my favorite fighters, him and his brother. I don't like to say that too often, but.
But it's true, damn it.
A whole generation of fight fans were born when his brother jumped off the cage and kicked Ben Henderson in the head.
You're never gonna forget that. You're just not going to forget it.
So fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool. I mean, he's still so young. 27 years old.
27.
Like, he got, like, you know,
what were you doing at 27?
10 years. Like, not kicking people in the head in a cage. I wasn't doing that.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I do know, you know, whenever Cassandra digs in her goodie bag of the past, you never know what's going on.
Oh, yeah. We still got to talk about that.
However,
there's so many things.
At 27, I was dancing with Mary J. Blige. That I do know. I got the bad knees to prove it.
Y'all don't know, man. If y'all don't stick around for more than just the interviews that we do, and even though we do incredible interviews and have some of the biggest names in boxing and MMA, if you don't stick around and hear the other stories that we have, you know, CC being in Kanye West music videos, dancing for Mary J. Blige, and hell, I just recently found out you were a publicist at one point for DMX. And so many other people, and you have stories about Lenny Kravitz that we can't repeat. So many other things going on, you know. But you've had such an interesting life.
I wasn't always somebody's mama. That should be the name of the book. I wasn't always somebody's mama.
That should be the name of this podcast. It applies to both of us. I wasn't always somebody's mama either.
That's true. Listen, I'm telling you, I had burned some sage earlier. It was a big ass, long, substantial, bundle of sage. Uh-huh. And it caught, some pile of smoke. And this house smells like Cheech and Chong was up in here all day. Smelled like they was up in here all day. And I don't know if it's, in the house or if it's, in my hair or, what. And I'm, getting a false contact from a bundle of sage.
Yeah. Well, on that note, thank you guys for tuning in.
We gotta talk about our girl real quick.
What?
Ebony Bridges.
Ebony, the blonde bomber.
Yes.
The blonde bomber put on her and Shannon Courtney put on one of the, if they were men, they'd already be talking about, you know, potential fighter of the year candidate.
Yep.
Unfortunately, you know, they probably won't get that love at the end of the year, but it was a damn slam fest of fighting and fists upside the head and clashing of heads and all kinds of stuff that, unfortunately, Ebony, the blonde bomber, she fell a little short, lost the decision, but, that was a hell of a fight.
It was some bullshit on the scoring though. There's no way you give Ebony only two rounds. She fought three of them, with no vision in her left eye.
She couldn't see the last two. So, you know, I think the correct person won, but I don't think the scorecards reflected accurate, you know, accurately what happened in the fight and everything. But, you know, she you know, it's something that since we've been talking to Ebony about her fighting career, and that's been for the last couple of years now, she knew that she was going to have to battle the critics who were like, you know, you're just a pretty face. You get in, you know, you have fake boobs and you, you know, get in lingerie for the weigh-ins and that's your shtick and that's how you're trying to make your mark in boxing and everything. And if she steps in with an opponent that, you know, boxing purists thought were just going to walk all over, probably finish her within the first couple of rounds. And she puts on a, I mean, that was a Rocky-esque type fight. And hey, Rocky lost in the first one too, but then he came back against that title. And I left watching that fight super impressed.
Yep.
By Ebony Bridges. Yep.
Like she could actually come back and do this for certain. I mean, you know, unfortunately, you know, the headbutt changed some things for her, but, and she was in trouble. You know, she was in trouble. I think it was the ninth round when, like, I didn't know she was going to finish the round. But not only did she finish, she came back out swinging.
She came back out looking for the knockout. She could only see out of one eye, you know. I mean, and hats off to Shannon Cordy. She, you know, she, you could tell as the fight went on a little bit of the level gap.
The skill level.
There was. Yeah. But, you know, Ebony got started later in her career. She's a little bit older as far as boxing. She's about 33, 34. Shannon is in her 20s, you know, and not to say that played any part, but the skills gap is there. Give Ebony a little bit more time, and I think you're going to see something really special. She's proving every time she goes out there that she's more than just a pretty face. But, you know, that helps. I don't understand why Eddie Hearn hasn't already announced her deal.
Whack. Hey, well, I'm actually going to be jumping on with Girl Chat. Monisha's had a horrible bout with allergies, and she's having some trouble speaking. So, I mean, she lost her voice. So I'm going to sit in with Mel here at 7 o'clock over at Girl Chat Sports. Got a really guest on. I just watched a documentary. I don't know why I can't remember the gentleman's name, but was a women's basketball coach out in Montana. Really changed.
Oh, for the ladies team. There.
Yes.
It was there forever. Gosh, I can't remember.
I want to say it's Shreve, but it's not. It's something like that. It starts with an S.
Yeah, he was there for like 20, 30 years, something like that. That is a really good show, man. And if you don't already catch Girl Chat Sports with Mo and Mel, you know, you're missing out.
How you living?
You know, you ain't living good. Not like Biggie said. So, you know, yeah, you definitely want to hop over there, follow CC. Yeah, there you go. Yes. Slivik. All right, Slavik, I can't. Yeah. I butcher people's names all the time. Oh, but that's going to be a really good show. So follow him over there. And what a great show. Bubba Jenkins, Sergio Pettis. There's not much more to say.
Did it again. Actually, coming back to the stream tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Mr. Ralph Velez is. We got a special guest, Todd Grisham, talking about this really cool video game.
Todd Grisham.
He's got with some, all your favorite fighters are in this game.
Wait,
all of them.
Todd Grisham. Isn't that the commentator? The commentator?
Guy? Yes, yes.
Hey, Todd Grisham.
He is VP of Development, I believe that's his title.
Oh, for the ESBC, that game?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Vinny Paz, all of them. They're all signing up for that. Oh, and Clarissa Shields. We have a date for her first PFL fight. June 10th, and she is going to be – we're going to see where she is. Yeah, she's ready to do it. She says she's ready. That's going to be a good one.
I know. That's the one I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch it. There's certain fighters where, like, it just makes me nervous, and I just want to know the result if they are right. You know, I was almost like that with Ebony. I was actually at UFC, and actually the person who was sitting a row ahead of me had the fight on, so I was like, all right, damn it, I'm fitting to watch it.
You're emotionally involved in it. You don't want to see your people. Yeah. You don't want to see any harm come to your people. I get it.
Right.
But hey, man, PFL, wow, starting, you know, making moves and starting to make noise, and they look like they're rolling out what looks to be a really solid season of fights. At least,
well, hey, the other Pettis is in there. The other Pettis.
The other Pettis. Yeah. And, Showtime. Fabricio Werdum, you know, that that signing was huge. You know, even in his 40s, that's a big signing for PFL. A lot of fans going to enjoy what should be a heavyweight run right there. And, you know, it's going to be fun to watch. And so, all right. Bubba Jenkins, thank you so much. Sergio Pettis, Steve Pratt, thank you so much, my friend, for helping us out and hooking us up with some of our guests, as you always do. Steve, he's a man that wears many hats and all the time is looking out for us and everything. So appreciate that. Thank you to Mike Dixon. Ramblin' Ralph makes his long-awaited return to Levels tomorrow with Todd Grisham. That's going to be a really great show. You're not going to want to miss it. For the Sports Nista, I'm Jeremy Long. This has been Levels. We'll see you tomorrow, right? Yeah, we'll do that.